Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
So today, I thought not so much to give an exposition of Daniel 1, but rather for us to try to understand this important subject of the fear of the Lord. That is foundational for wisdom. If you are to live wisely in a hostile world, it is essential that you live in the fear of God.
This is The Verdict, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor John Monroe. Scripture tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But in our world today, this concept is rather foreign. Today, we'll see that this fear, this reverence, is the foundation for living a wise and skillful life as we're learning from the life of Daniel. So let's better understand and reclaim this idea. Now, continuing in Daniel, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Today, we continue in our study of Daniel. Daniel and some other young Israelites have been taken prisoner by the Babylonians who conquered Jerusalem in 605 BC. Now, the Babylonians had a very clever strategy for these young Israelis. They were being re-educated so that they could make an impact in Babylon. But the Babylonians did not reckon with the strong faith in God demonstrated by Daniel and his friends. And Daniel and his friends excelled beyond all of their peers and were known for their wisdom and understanding. What was it about these young men that made them so wise? They lived in the fear of the Lord. So let's take a broader view of Daniel 1 and ask what it means to fear the Lord and how to live wisely in a hostile world.
Proverbs 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Let me read that again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Do you understand that the most important aspect of your life is your relationship with the Lord? The fear of the Lord, the knowledge of the Holy One. That's wisdom. That's true insight. Now let's look at this a little closer to understand this Lord. To fear the Lord, we must understand who the Lord is. He is transcendent. When we say that God is transcendent, we're saying that God is above and beyond the world. We are in awe of the creator of our universe. And that awe, that fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. And so we speak of the mystery and the transcendence of the Lord. You're in Exodus 3. Look back to the beginning of the chapter. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. This burning bush phenomenon is an illustration of the Lord's transcendence. The bush burned with fire, and yet the bush was not consumed. That defies all laws of science, doesn't it? And the point is that the fuel for the fire is not coming from the bush. There is an independent energy source. The transcendent God never runs out of fuel. His glory never fades. He is apart from and beyond his creation. He's self-existent and self-sufficient. He is transcendent. And this is why we're to live in the fear of the Lord. Don't you want a big God? I hope you do. And this great eternal God, this I Am, sees his people's afflictions, verse 7, Exodus 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have, what? Come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and so on. What love, what compassion, that this great God who is transcendent looks down and he sees his people's affliction. He sees that they are slaves, and he's saying to Moses, I've come down and I'm going to deliver them. What grace, what love, what compassion. The sovereign Lord of the universe is so huge that the universe can't contain him. That's his transcendence. Yet he is present with his people. He is immanent. And in great love, this great Lord seeks a personal, yes, a personal relationship with his people. Verse 6, I am, not was, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham. But Abraham has been dead for many, many years. But yes, I am his God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This great God seeks a personal relationship with his people in his grace as he comes down to us. He is both transcendent and immanent. He's over and beyond the creation and graciously works in human history, in his creation. And this is the Lord we are to fear. And this is the beginning of wisdom. So first of all, to fear the Lord is to know the Lord. Question, do you have this living relationship with the Lord? Do you? Not talking about 10 years ago. Today, as you sit in church, can you, in the presence of God who knows your heart, say, yes, I have this living, vibrant relationship with this great Lord whom I am to fear. Now, secondly, to fear the Lord is also to live a holy, obedient life. Turn back to Proverbs. Many scriptures in Proverbs to support this, but let's look at one, Proverbs 16, verse 6. We're saying to fear the Lord is to know the Lord. We want to fear the Lord. I trust you do, because we all want wisdom. To fear the Lord, you have to know the Lord in a personal sense. You have to have a living relationship with him. Secondly, to fear the Lord is to live a holy, obedient life. Proverbs 16, verse 6. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. Do you fear the Lord? If you fear the Lord, you will turn away from evil. The fear of the Lord, this loving, living, worshiping relationship with the Lord, leads to reverent obedience. Someone we love, we don't want to offend, we don't want to grieve, do we? If you fear the Lord is the lens through which you see all of life. Lord, I'm going to do this. Will it please you? If I pursue this interest, Lord, will that please you? Does this relationship that means so much to me, will this please you, Lord? All of life brought back to the Lord. That's living in the fear of the Lord. And it produces, doesn't it, a holy, obedient life. Those who fear the Lord turn from evil. Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean. Of course it is. It's clean, it's pure, and it endures forever. The fear of the Lord motivates us not to sin and in fact, to hate evil. Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. The more you fear the Lord, the more you will hate sin. The more you love yourself, the more self-centered you are, the more you will love sin. Those who walk in the fear of the Lord live a holy, obedient life. This is living. This is very practical, isn't it? in the fear of the Lord, day by day, a holy, obedient life. And to fear the Lord is to obey the Lord with joy. Psalm 112, verse 1, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. That's it. The one who truly fears the Lord delights in the commandments of the Lord. He loves to obey the Lord. He loves to please the Lord. When I started my legal training, I worked for an attorney, a wonderful man who I respected and loved dearly. And he would often give me legal assignments. One of the things that motivated me to do well as pleasing the client and so making some money, was to please my boss. I respected him. Indeed, I loved him. And that motivated me to please him. If you love the Lord, if you fear the Lord, you want to please the Lord, don't you? You will delight in his commandments. Many of you have read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis's great book. And in that story, one of the children asks Mr. and Mrs. Beaver about Aslan the lion. And in C.S. Lewis writing, Aslan, of course, is a picture of Christ. They've made a movie of it as well. And one of the children asks Mr. and Mrs. Beaver about Aslan the lion. Quote, is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. That you will, dearie, and no mistake, said Mr. Beaver. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or just plain silly. Then he isn't safe, said Lucy. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you. That was masterly, wasn't it, of C.S. Lewis? You say, is God safe? Do you want a God that you can domesticate? A God that you can put in your pocket? A God that you can manipulate? A God that you can use? No, this Lord is the eternal one, the one to whom we are all accountable, the one who made us in his image, the eternal God, the transcendent God. In that sense, of course he isn't safe. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's why we fear him. That's why we obey him. But he is always good. Of course he is. Not only is he great, he is gracious. Not only is he righteous, he is all loving. All righteous and loving. To fear the Lord is to know the Lord. To fear the Lord is to live a holy, obedient life. Finally, very quickly, to fear the Lord is to trust the Lord. We're in Proverbs. Look back to Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8 again. Some of the most famous verses in all of Proverbs. Many of you have memorized them. If not, I ask you to do that. Proverbs 3, verse 5. We're saying to fear the Lord is to know the Lord, have a living relationship with the Lord. To fear the Lord is to turn from evil, is to live a holy, obedient life. Third, to fear the Lord is to trust the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. There it is. And turn away from evil. It will be what? Healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Isn't that wonderful? To fear the Lord, then, is to trust the Lord. When we do our own thing, we don't fear the Lord. Now, we all know that. We all know that tension of doing something that we know is wrong and yet still doing it. In that moment, we've not lived in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 7 talks about, be not wise in your own eyes. I'm often wise in my own eyes, acting independently of God. It's to be self-sufficient. It's to be self-reliant. It's to leave God out of my plans, out of my life. And while we may not be theoretical atheists like Richard Dawkins, I fear that all too often many of us are practical atheists, where we plan our life, our career, our retirement, our investments, our time, our education, our family, our friendships, all as if God didn't exist. I want God in my pocket. I want God there when I make a mess of life. Some medical emergency, I want God to help me. But there you are, God. I really control you. And I'm wise in my own eyes. And that's the very opposite of the fear of the Lord. In fact, Proverbs is telling us that's not wisdom at all. That is foolishness. And we get ourselves in a tremendous mess, don't we? The very opposite of living in the fear of the Lord, being wise in our own eyes. But the person who fears the Lord trusts the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with what? With all your heart. This trust, lying helplessly downwards, as it were, is the point, is to be wholehearted. I'm to trust God, not just with a little bit, but with all of my heart. This trust in the Lord also is to be exclusive, verse 5. Do not lean on your own understanding. When I live in the fear of the Lord, I'm to renounce all of my own plans, my schemes, my agendas. This idea that really I think I know better than God. No, I'm to renounce all of that. My trust in the Lord is to be exclusive. You are not to lean on your own understanding. Our need of God is total, and our trust in Him is to be total. Verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. That's living in the fear of the Lord. This situation, this decision, the big ones and the small ones, in all of my ways, acknowledge Him. All of the tomorrows of my life, all of the plans ahead, have to pass through the Lord before they get to me. And this trust, which flows from the fear of the Lord, is rewarded by the Lord. End of verse 6, He will make straight your paths. Verse 8, it will be healing to your flesh and a refreshment to your bones. How wonderful. To truly know the Lord, then, is to fear the Lord. And to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Therefore, know God, seek Him, love Him, be guided by Him, obey Him, and He will give you all of the wisdom you need to live in this hostile world. Now we begin to understand, don't we, what gave Daniel such courage, such serenity, such wisdom and skill in Babylon. Daniel is the calmest, most confident, wisest person in all of Babylon. And is going to be in all of Medo-Persia. Why? Because he fears the Lord. He is God-centered rather than self-centered. He's more concerned about the fear of the Lord than the fear of man. He's much more concerned about pleasing the Lord than pleasing himself or pleasing Nebuchadnezzar. Why is it? Although most of us sitting here are much better educated than our grandparents. I certainly am. Neither of my grandfathers ever went to college. Most of us here are much better educated than our grandparents. Certainly have much more resources. But do we live life better than they do? It seems to me, in spite of all of our education, in spite of all the advances in living in this wonderful country of America, more and more of us are making a mess of our lives. What's the problem? Not lack of knowledge, not lack of education, lack of wisdom. We are not wise. We don't have wise leaders. We're not wise ourselves. We don't have wise fathers. We don't have wise mothers. We don't have wise economists. Today, first, will you ask God for wisdom? And live in the fear of the Lord. James writes, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith. Now there's a wonderful promise today. Now, before you leave, ask God for wisdom and ask in faith. Trust him with all of your heart. Say, God, give me that wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when I fear the Lord, I listen to the Lord and I obey his word. And his commandments make me wiser than all of my enemies. You say, how can we approach such a holy, transcendent God? When we come to the New Testament and the progress of Revelation, we understand this. that the one who is, I am who I am, is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. He said to his hostile audience in John 8, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And they said, how could it be? I mean, Abraham's been dead for hundreds of years, and you're not yet 50. How could Abraham rejoice in your day? What did Jesus respond? Before Abraham was, what? I am. Ego eimi, I am. He is the great I am. To the hungry, he says, I'm the bread of life. To those in darkness, he says, I'm the light of the world. To those who want to be fruitful, he says, I am the true vine. To those who are lost, he says, I'm the way. To those who seek wisdom, he says, I'm the truth. To those who fear death, to those who are mourning the loss of a loved one, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. All we need is found in Christ. And so I ask you to come to Christ. Jesus says, I told you that if you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins, John 8:24. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, John 8:28. Do you know him? As we close, will you bow your heart? If you have never known Christ, this one who died for your sins, to receive him into your heart and life as your Savior and Lord. Open your heart and receive Christ, who is the wisdom of God, the Savior of the world. And those of us who are followers of Christ, may each of us pursue wisdom and live this week and every week in the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Help us, Father, to do just that. We confess that we're like the man in the Proverbs, that we're often wise in our own eyes, but help us to trust you with all of our heart, to turn from evil, to fear the Lord. How we need wisdom in our homes, in our relationships, here at church, as we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray for our leaders, for our president, for our senators and congressmen, for our mayors and governors, that they will be wise men and women, administering and ruling and legislating in the fear of the Lord. And what we pray for them, we pray for ourselves, that we will be wise men and women, bringing joy to you and making a difference in this world. Help us in Christ's name. Amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, Living Wisely in a Hostile World. Today, we learn the importance of seeking God's wisdom in the midst of worldly opposition. And that's exactly why we're excited to offer you a special new booklet by John called Jesus Speaks on Marriage and Gender. This timely resource will help you look at these key subjects from the perspective of God's Word. Learn what Jesus teaches and what the Bible really has to say about marriage, sexual identity, and even transgenderism by digging into Scripture with clear and straightforward explanations from John. So request your free copy of Jesus Speaks on Marriage and Gender when you visit our website at calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And while you're there, be sure to also sign up for monthly emails from John. Now, before we hear John's closing remarks, we want to encourage you to make your own impact in the lives of other listeners and help someone else come closer to Christ by supporting our ministry with a financial gift of any amount. Our ministry relies on the generous donations of fellow believers who share our passion for the gospel. You can send your donation today by going to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. There you'll also find details for attending or live streaming our Sunday services here at Calvary Church, home of The Verdict. To learn more about our Sunday worship or any of our ministries, visit our website at calvarychurch.com. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Would you say that you're living in the fear of the Lord? Do you know God? We come to God through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Trust the Lord Jesus with all of your heart. And as we follow him, we seek to pursue holiness and reject evil in our lives. So live wisely in this world. Live in the fear of the Lord. Join me next time as we look at Daniel 2, where Daniel faces another crisis.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.